So let's just start with the most important question, which is, why should the people of Albany select you to be the next mayor?
Because if people want to see real change in Albany, change that they can see, change that they can feel, I'm the person that needs to be mayor. Because, you know, at this point, you know, I've been on the council 20 years. You know, I've been a working professional for almost 40 years, 30 years with the state. And what that does, I think, has given me the kind of preparation for this kind of public service, at this level of public service, that other people don't have. This is not corporate America. This is public service. And I believe with the issues that I've had to deal with in the city of Albany over the last 20 years on the council, the last 8 years as president, I mean, there's not an issue that's new to me. I think I understand the different segments of the community best. I also just believe that, you know, I'm bringing a perspective to this that lets people know that, indeed, it's about them. It's not about me as mayor, but it's about the people and I mean that sincerely, that the people do come first, and that any decisions that we make will take into make a top priority the impact that it's having on the human being that lives in the city of Albany. Sure, we need money, so we have to raise taxes. Let me rephrase that. People have to be taxed. I'm not saying we're going to raise taxes. That's not what I meant by that phrase. But at the same time as we raise taxes, raise money to pay our operations, we also have to keep taxes at a manageable level so that people feel like, oh, yeah, I can live in Albany. I can afford to stay in Albany. But we, at the same time, we also got to be looking out at what are some other additional revenue streams that we can identify. You know, Albany is my home. I grew up here. I lived away for 10 years, and I came back, and I've been back here 30 years this year. And in that time, I've been a very active individual, someone who has not just thought about self, because that's not the way I was raised. When you have much, you give much. And that's what I have been doing for the last 30 years.
You know, I think talking about the things that differentiate you from the other candidates and what makes maybe your viewpoint different from theirs. I think back to this, there was a segment in your announcement speech that I thought was very powerful.
I was born and raised in this city. My parents came here through the Great Migration in the mid-40s. And we are still here. Yeah. And many of you represent folks that also came through the Great Migration. And you are still here. Yeah. We are not going away, and we are ready to take the mantle of leadership to move this city.
To what extent do you think that African Americans who are part of these families who did come here in the Great Migration, who have been here for so long, who are now an important and vital thread of the fabric of this city, to what extent do you think that they have been accepted into leadership and have the role that is fair and just?
Well, I've been in a leadership role for over 20 years, and I've had to fight long and hard to keep that, and the people have kept me there. So in that regard, you know, it's far, the people have accepted me, and I would say throughout the city, because it takes a citywide election to become council president. And I've gone through that process twice. But I also served as chair of the Albany County Democratic Committee for 2 years. And they were challenging places to be. But I think until, you know, we get to a level where we're actually calling the shots, you have to be in control to make change. You really do. I have a lot of influence as council president and as someone who is a respected leader throughout the city. But at the same time, if I see a situation that I want changed, I really need to be able to say, you get it done by virtue of the fact that I'm the mayor. And you need to change the way you do business here, because this is how we're going to do it now. in keeping with all of the legal guidelines. But there are some things, some pressures that need to be brought to bear so that my leadership as a qualified individual who just happens to be African-American. Let's just be clear about that. You know, I'm trained. I have a master's degree in public administration, a bachelor's degree in chemistry, both fields of which I worked in very successfully. And then I have spent the last 20 years as a council member and president of the city council, common council. So I haven't just been sitting around doing nothing. I've been an active participant in the operations of the city of Albany, in the improvements of the city of Albany. I've been a voice out there that has really spoken for that person or those individuals who feel like they're underestimated, undervalued, and marginalized. And those people come in all hues. There's, you know what I'm saying? So when I say that, I'm not just talking about African-American people, as some people try to pigeonhole me. I represent the city of Albany as president. And we're all over the city, but in certain places, we are in the more challenged communities. So I do represent those people, and I feel that maybe a voice needs to be stronger for whoever that person is who doesn't feel that they have a stronger voice or that people are listening to them. And so it is important. I don't apologize for being an African-American woman who is running to be mayor of Albany. And if people take pride in that, then so be it. And I take pride in it. But I'm not running on that. And this is the first time I've ever even mentioned it throughout the campaign as something that people should be cognizant of. But I will not apologize for that fact, that I would make history as the first African-American mayor in the city of Albany. I'm not going to do that because that is who I am. And that part of this community, that's where only then will I believe that the leadership of the African-American community will be accepted in this city. Yes, that is what it's going to take. Because so often, it's like as long as you stay here, you're okay. I can't stay there. I could have been very comfortable running for president again, but for me it's not about a title. It's about using your talent to make change, to get things done. I've been very frustrated for the last four years as council president.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those frustrations. Specifically, what were some of those issues that you saw that you thought maybe were being not addressed correctly or were inequitable or should have been done differently?
From the beginning of the term, there were a number of issues. When we were talking about a casino in the city of Albany, the council members, majority of them, wanted to support a casino here in Albany. The mayor didn't. Council members, a majority of them, wanted to support a casino in Rensselaer, when it was found that we did not have the proper area to build the because we had wetlands.
Yeah, this is the land over by
9W. So that's not going to work. But then when Rensselaer was, council members wanted support Rensselaer. We waited until 2 weeks before the announcement was made to give our full support to Rensselaer. Up to that point, the mayor was supporting East Greenbush, a place who said, mayor, governor, we don't want it. They had 2,000 signatures of people saying they didn't want it. But why would you, as the mayor of Albany, say put it there when the people said they didn't want it? And so I do believe, this is my opinion, that had some effect on why Rensselaer didn't get it. And it went to Schenectady. Had it been in Rensselaer, there could have been some positive return for the city of Albany. As it stands now, there's no return to the city of Albany for Schenectady. I'm hoping that there's some people who have jobs over there, but we were counting on that, as seeing that as an economic engine for Albany. We could have used that to some of the things, the restaurant business, the entertainment business, transportation to and from Albany to Rensselaer, could have been an economic engine for us. That's how I looked at it. So I didn't agree with that. That's number one. Number two, when the mayor made a proposal whatever her strategy was, to close Ladder 1 down here in the south end of Albany. What makes you think that the neighborhood that has the most high-rise buildings in the city of Albany would not need a Ladder 1 in the south end of Albany? Where did that proposal come from? I don't care how much money it was going to save. You were putting lives at risk, and you can't put a value on lives. That's number two. Number three, the red light cameras. I never supported those. I felt that they were discriminatory in their placement, that they were not going to raise money, and to the fact, they have not. Essentially, right now, we are working for the vendor, processing these tickets and sending all the money out of the city. Number four, the trash fee. I did not support the trash fee. I still, to this day, in its second year of implementation, I don't support it. And I said, if some are going to pay, all need to pay. Again, trash fee put in communities where people can least likely afford it. No, I did not agree with that. And so those are four. That's where my frustration came from. And that's 4 years worth of frustration. And to watch council members sit there and say, this is not right, this is a mistake, but I got to vote for it anyway, and you did that? And then 2 nights ago, the mayor herself said it was a mistake.
Going back to the casino, and I think this is also connected to a lot of other issues, is jobs. And I've heard you talk about this in a lot of different contexts and a lot of different questions about the need for the city to be involved in helping to generate jobs here and helping to connect people. I guess specifically, what are things that the city can do to help in that regard?
I mean, the vision that I have, I have a vision of a really bright future for Albany. I really do, because I don't want to just talk about what the issues are. Everybody knows we need money, taxes, and that. But there's so much going on in Albany that we really need to capitalize on. And I think that you have an entrepreneurial spirit that is alive in Albany right now that we really need to bring to Main Street. And that's one of the things that, in terms of small businesses, are what are creating jobs in this country right now. And that's no different for Albany. We have the opportunity to do that as well. So I believe that we can marry those real estate property, those are property, commercial property owners downtown with some of our small businesses to get them on Main Street. Why not? You got an empty office building. You got an empty office storefront on Pearl Street. Why not get into relationships with some of these young entrepreneurs who have businesses, put them in your place and work out some kind of startup deal for them so that their rent is, it may not be your market rate rent that you're charging, but give them an opportunity to get started, start up for maybe 12 to 18 months. So you got somebody in your building, it's alive, you're attracting other people to the building, and they're building their business. I see that. Also, I think that we here as the capital city, we need to be a part of putting together a pipeline for jobs, be they on the city, the county, the state, even the federal level. We ought to have a clearinghouse where people, I know we have workforce development office, but we need to have something that's visible where people who are looking for work can genuinely seek out employment that suits their needs. But at the same time, if people need training, we need to have vehicles in place that provide that training. So we need to work together with the unions, who I think can do a better job partnering with us. How do you have 9,000 jobs over at Albany Med? I know maybe thousands of people, hundreds, maybe thousands, that live in the city of Albany that do work there. But they have other jobs that people need to have access to. St. Peter's, other hospitals, the university, St. Rose, SUNY Albany, all of them. Those are jobs at those places that people at all levels should be connected to. And then you've got the state and county and state government that we should be a clearinghouse, a visible, and we should work to make that happen. Because you're not going to grow a city if people are not working. You're not going to get rid of an abandoned building if people are not working, able to afford it, rehab it, and stabilize their neighborhood. And we want to attract people into the city of Albany who do have resources, who do have jobs, but they got to see our city as something, as a place that's thriving. And stop talking about Albany in terms of blight.
And we need to start talking about urban Albany in terms of a city of light, because people are going to be working under my administration. That's what I look to make sure that people are working, to make sure that people are living in quality, affordable housing. There's a lot of housing being built in the city of Albany, but I don't know how much of it is affordable. If you're talking about $900 for a one-bedroom apartment, gentrification is on its way to Albany. If we don't do a greater job of placing emphasis on low and moderate income housing.
Okay, so what's the best way to do that, do you think?
We need to become partners with these developers that are coming into our city. We talked about inclusionary zoning as it related to the rezone. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's something that we really have to be, we have to be strong on that, because we can't be just a city of people who are making six figures and providing housing for them. Because this is not a city of people making just six figures. This is a mixed income city that thrives because of that. Because we do have a diversity of income as well as diversity of ethnic groups in our city. And if we're going to really save our diversity and the character of our city, we've got to make sure that we have housing that suits all people that have chosen to call Albany home. So developers that want to come in and build in our city, we need to talk to them about this. And not just talk to them about it, but we need to have some, be it an executive order or what, in place that says you will provide certain number of units for low to moderate income people, or there's an impact fee that you will pay to us so that we can build it.
You know, the argument against that has been that, you know, if the city, essentially that the city is in competition with other places for investment. And if the city, the more restrictions the city puts on there, the more that it increases the costs, the more likely that investment is to go somewhere else. Do you buy into that?
I mean, I've heard that. That was the argument we had with not putting inclusionary zoning in the rezone for 6 months,
right,
and then at 5%, and not putting it onto developers that were already in the pipeline. But did we ask them? You know, I do believe that there are developers out there that want to do the right thing. And so we told them, we gave them out, but without even asking. That's from my perspective. That's how that occurred. And I think, you know, I've heard that story. I know developers in the business that make money. They're not out here to be altruistic and all that. But in some regards, they are. So, but I still think that we've got to think of the people first and foremost. As for someone coming out from outside the city, coming in to build, and you are targeting a certain market rate homeowner or tenant, but that's not all we have in Albany. And Albany Housing can't do it all. And everybody's not eligible for Albany Housing. I'm talking about that moderate income person. Might be two families, two people working in the house. But, you know, they bring home less than $75,000, less than $80,000. They need affordable housing, too. That senior citizen that's living, has paid for their home, they need to be able to stay in their home. Maybe they want to downsize and go into an apartment, but they need to be able to afford that on their in pension and or Social Security. So those are the people that I'm talking about, and we have to take all of those into consideration when we talk about any building activity that takes place in our city. You got these young families with kids. You got two kids, and you may even have a two-parent household. In many cases, you have a one-parent household with two-plus kids. How are they going to afford? They deserve quality housing. And all of them do not apply for public assistance. That moderate income family needs to have access to housing in Albany, or we're going to lose people.
So this is, I think, is an important topic for the city that doesn't necessarily get talked about enough. And it's that the city is in competition, not just for investment, but for people. it's in competition with Bethlehem and Guilderland, Troy, Colony, especially when people have kids. You know, I hear this all the time. You're like, yeah, you know, we're thinking about schools, or we're thinking about we need more space, and, you know, we want to stay in the city, but we're not sure because of taxes or schools, or people have all sorts of reasons. I guess then, as mayor, what would be your pitch to keep those people and to attract more of those young families?
I mean, I've been saying that, you know, I believe that there are three things that determine whether you're going to live in a city. Is Albany affordable? Is it safe? And will my children get a quality education? So, and those things are important. And I do know that people say, oh, no, they looked at the school, 59% graduation rate. No, I got to take my kids somewhere else.
Yeah, but okay, but that's a good thing because the, you know, that graduation rate doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, you talk to people who send their kids to Albany High School and they talk about fantastic teachers. Some of them are in amazing classes. And, you know, some of that, it's that story of what's happening here that in some ways doesn't seem to connect, or that people aren't, it's not being sold right now.
And I mean, I can give you great success stories out of Albany High. And I support the school, and we got a new school superintendent, and I believe that we've had some good ones in the past. And now we just want to give her the support, be a partner with her at the table to make sure that those numbers, like you said, they don't tell the whole story and that people don't make their decision based on that number. Because if you are an involved parent, you want to put your children in our city school district, and you work with the school district, you work with their teachers, your children will be successful. But as it relates to... The other aspects of the city, I want people to not give up on Albany, because we're not going to give up on you. We're going to always be striving to make sure that you have a safe city, that there's shared prosperity in our city, that it's an environmentally friendly city and sustainable city, and that we have efficient government going on. That's my commitment as mayor, and that's always going to be the focus, because, right, if Troy can do these things in terms of their economic development, if Schenectady can do it, we're the capital city. We're stone's throw from the capital. Why can't we do it? I believe it's because we've had people operating from a perspective of just trying to make sure that a policy is written, that it has some short-term effect and not long-term, and not affecting everybody in the city. And the relationship that we have to have with the Capitol in terms of looking at us as someone who they should be thinking of first when they make financial decisions, that's got to change. We can't be an afterthought. Oh, by the way, Albany City needs some money, or Albany City needs some support when we have all of these different initiatives going on. We shouldn't be an afterthought. It's the capital city. So my job as mayor will be to make sure that we are first and foremost on the mind of the governor and all of the other leaders in the Capitol. And as mayor, I want people to know that I will always work to make sure that no matter what neighborhood you live in, no matter what your where you find yourself, that I have your best interests at heart. And one is no more important than the other, because so goes the neighborhoods that are most challenged. That's the image that people are going to have of Albany. But that doesn't mean that people that live in the Buckingham Pond area or live on Gray Ridge Estates or up off Shaker Road or in the Pine Hills or the Dunes, those people got some serious concerns. They want sidewalks, something as simple as a sidewalk, so that they can walk safely in their neighborhood. The people up on Mount Hope, they want sidewalks. You know, I was up there the other day, and a lady says to me, you know, when the garbage truck comes and they pick up the garbage, and then, but we get all the runoff from the truck, and then I want to go and walk my dog, and that's what I got to walk in. You know, something simple as that. Can they wash down the street after they come? Things like that. People are concerned about whether their sidewalks are safe, crumbling. People are concerned as to whether just the infrastructure of the city is, and that's every neighborhood. I don't care what neighborhood you go, there's an infrastructure issue.
So we've got to be about looking at, I believe, some long-term strategic plans to deal with our infrastructure, to deal with our economic development. And whether we have a director of economic development or we have Capitalize Albany, it really has to be about what is going to grow the city of Albany. If you've got 60,000 or plus people coming into the city of Albany every day and they're not leaving some money here, we're doing something wrong. And right now, we're not giving them any place to leave it on North Pearl Street.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the central challenges of the city, is that we have this huge, I think of it as like this tide of people that washes in every day and then washes back out. And it seems like, you know, that causes a lot of problems and challenges for the city. But it also seems like it's a big opportunity.
I see it as an opportunity. I really do. We work very hard to make sure that our streets are paved and our streets are cleared in the wintertime so that people can get in and get out safely. But at the same time, while you're here, let's take you down to State Street. Let's take you down to Pearl Street. Let's take you down either in north or south on Pearl Street and show you that there's some opportunities here, that there's businesses here that you might want to frequent. You're here every day, and then it saves you a trip of having to go someplace else to shop. If you came downtown Albany and took care of some of your business, you help us grow. And I think that we've got to do a better job of that. We've got to look at what some other cities have done in terms of improving their downtown. Boston seems to have done a great job, an historic city, much like Albany. They're a growing city. They're looking at their students. They're looking at seniors. They're looking at the professional growth in their city. Same kind of perspective we need to take on every segment of our community and see, what does it take to make sure seniors are happy? What does it take to make sure that young millennial who's just getting out of college, we have all these colleges and universities, what can we do to make sure they stay here? What can we provide them in terms of economic opportunity, job opportunities, housing opportunities? That young family, what can we provide to them? I think you have to look at it in those segments, but at the same time, you'll be able to connect the dots because it's all the same. People want an affordable city. People want services at their fingertips. We want people to reduce their carbon footprint. So you therefore have to give them some stuff that they can walk to. Those services, I got to get in the car, I got to drive to Colony Center, or I got to drive to Cross Gates, you know, to get, you know, I use this example for years, for women who are wearing tights or stockings. You got to get in your car to go to Stuyvesant Plaza, Colony Center, or Stuyvesant Plaza to get that, or Cross Gates. Why can't we get some little shops downtown? And if you, then we're also got the Albany Capital Center, and we're doing all these great improvements on the Times Union Center. That's going to bring thousands of people into our city. But when they come out of the Capital Center, when they come out of the Times Union Center, we need to have businesses right at their fingertips so that they can run in that store, get a souvenir from Albany, run over here, get a trinket to take back home, and so that whenever they wear it or give it to somebody, it reminds them of Albany and they can, for their next visit. That's not, when I go on trips, when I go to conferences, I'm looking for something to bring back home. I don't know where people are going to get that when they come to Albany. So there's some beautiful shops on Lark Street that, but you got to connect the people to them. And not just people who are visiting, but people who are right here.
So I guess, you know, to kind of distill, I think, a lot of your viewpoints, and what I'm hearing from you, and please correct me, you know, if I have this wrong, is that you want to see the city be more active and proactive in connecting people, actually reaching out, putting people in positions to succeed, like actually really taking an active role in that, mm-hmm. not just setting the scene, but actually reaching out and doing something. Do I have that right?
Because that, when I go door to door, that's what I hear from people. There's some people that are doing very well, and they're going to do well no matter what. But there are other people in our city who are not doing as well. And they need to know that if I stay in Albany, there's going to be some opportunity for me. And that opportunity can take various forms, be it a job, be it housing, be it an opportunity to volunteer to do a number of things. And my children are going to have opportunities. Certain communities that I've gone to, the major concern for people is, what are you going to do for the kids? What are you going to, these schools should stay open so that, back in, the one woman said to me the other day, when I was younger, we had a teen center. When that teen center got torn down, there was nothing for us to do. Now the kids have nothing to do but play in the street. Why can't the schools stay open? Kids can do their homework. It cannot, and they can have other extracurricular after-school programs that help develop the student. They can have some fun. Don't want them to think that they're still in school. It's an extended school day. But there is a difference between school and an after-school program. And until we get a community center or a multi-purpose center in every neighborhood, in my view, we have a community center by our schools. We've got to leave them open. We've got to provide. And I think that we can find partners in the school district and in the business community and with nonprofits and the city that will work together to make sure that there are programs in those schools and people, competent people, are running them so that our children are having an extended learning experience at the same time as having fun in the evenings. Because that's what a community center does. It provides you with a place to go to do your homework, a place if you're on a drill team, that a lot of young girls are doing in our city now. If boys want to play basketball, if they want to play on the computer, or learn on the computer. Because we got a lot of kids that are computer literate, and are our future computer programmers. And just show them just what a powerful tool they have in that cell phone, or a laptop, or a tablet, or a computer. And I think that in that way we can be about preparing our engineers, our teachers, our lawyers, our doctors of the future.
If you don't win, what would you hope that the winner keeps in mind as they take on the next 4 years?
Well, I expect to win, and I still plan to do that. And even I would hope that in terms of working with these individuals, if they still have an interest in the city of Albany, it is to be about continue to think of people first when you make decisions. Don't put a policy in place that does not measure the physical human impact on folks. And also recognize that people got to work. I don't care. You can talk about raising money all day long, but the bread and butter issue of the people, particularly in this neighborhood right here, they want to know, how am I going to put bread and butter on my table? How am I going to make sure my kids are safe and I don't have to keep them locked in the house all winter because I'm afraid for them to go down the street or there's no place for them to go. Think about those things. Why are you taking care of that other business? Think about the human person that is being impacted, that already live in Albany and that you want to attract to Albany. Albany is I think I turned out pretty good as somebody who grew up in Albany, in the South End, and in Arbor Hill. And there are lots of other people like me who have done very well, are products of the city of Albany. And we know that right now there's some young people that are living in our city, some kids that deserve opportunity, and everything that you do should be to make sure that those seniors that live in our city can continue to live out their lives in a manner in which they are accustomed and comfortable, and that our young people have doors of opportunity open to them in the city of Albany. It's not acceptable to me that I see another young person or hear another young person say to me, I got to leave Albany because there's nothing here for me. That's not acceptable.
Okay, last thing. As people go into that booth on the primary day, what's that one soundbite from you that you want to be in their mind as they get ready to make their choice?
First and foremost, make sure you go vote and don't let anyone you know that day go to bed without voting. But also know that I am the right choice, and you look for my name, Carolyn McLaughlin, because I'm the one who's always going to put you first. And I believe that it is time for a complete change of perspective in terms of the leadership of this city that's going to move everybody forward. So that's why when you go in, you should think of me. I am a new voice. I have a new vision, and I want you to help me clarify that vision and move it forward so that together we move Albany forward and everybody gets a share of what is going on positive in our city of Albany. If you want those kinds of things, if you want accountability, if you want integrity, if you want somebody who sees you, somebody who's really going to listen to you and has been listening to you and has been responding to you, if you want that in the mayor, the next mayor of the city of Albany, then you will vote for me because I will respond to what I hear from you.